The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth for those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed that the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, and please be seated. One more day we get to open all the packages. I imagine everybody's probably relieved to have finally gone through another year of shopping and having family, although we still have time for family and all that. But there's a wonderful energy around, lots of things to do, friends coming from out of town, meals to be made, purchases to be given, you know, all kinds of wonderful things. But I'm always amazed how I feel kind of tired just around this time of year, because I don't do this kind of shopping anymore. I don't do it like the parents do. You know, we have children, and then you have all kinds of little ones, and you have to buy gifts and be with them and so forth. It's a really tiring time for the family. I'm kind of now the Amazon king. You know, what I do instead of going to the shopping mall, I just go on Amazon and make it a lot easier so I don't have to go shopping, because I remember the experiences I had shopping, especially in New York when I would go to 34th Street. I don't know if anyone's here from New York City. But when you go there, oh my God, there's so many people. It's like a sea of people. And you're walking around, you're looking at them, and you're saying, why are they here? Why are there so many people in this place? What are they doing? What's their names? I don't know anybody in this place. And so you feel a real sense of anonymity. You really feel lonely among so many people. But there is a festive feel to it, isn't it? It's almost a kind of contradiction. Among so many different people, you feel a connection, a unity, a sense of joy, a sense of celebration. And yet, you really don't know anybody. You feel separate. You feel alienated. You feel individual. And this is the kind of story that Luke is beginning to present to us in today's reading, as he begins to express and contrast the birth of Jesus over against this very, very big and popular political agenda that was going on, in which people were being counted. It was the census. The Romans sent out to get people to come together from their native town so that they can be counted. Counted for a number of reasons. One of them, of course, to pay tax. They wanted, tax time is around the corner too. Anyway, the idea is that they come together so that they can be counted to make sure that everyone is paying their due. But also they wanted to see how many young men were there and to see if there were some available for their armies. So this was a time for them to get a sense of who was there and how many people were there and how they can use them. And so in that panorama of people coming in, Luke begins to demonstrate and begins to introduce us to the birth of Jesus. One woman, a young woman, yet unmarried, engaged but not married, who is homeless for all terms, intents and purposes, only with her husband to be, and very close to giving birth. This is the little kinds of people that Luke begins to introduce to us in the vast majority of people that are out there. And he begins to then to contrast his understanding of what these people will represent and what they mean for the rest of the world. Because what Luke is doing is he's contrasting the power of the empire with the power of God, who comes in such a simple, almost unnoticeable way to bring a new sense of relating and a new sense of being in the world. And so when God brings the newly coupled into the world, he brings them in such a way that he brings a certain message and a certain understanding of what these people mean and what they represent for us. First of all, they're simple people, shepherds, you know, people that don't have much credibility, not much money, not much political clout or any of that, but yet God resides in them. He speaks to the shepherds to have the shepherds come and see this wonderful event. Because God now is doing something that is different. He was remaking the message that he has been giving to all of Israel in a new way. He's bringing a sense of his presence into the world in a very simple, in a very calm, and he's hallowing the everyday. He's hallowing the simple. He's hallowing the flesh of everybody that is in our world. See, the message that is being contrasted in this particular reading of the narrative of Jesus is that God makes the simple a reality. God makes the simple extraordinary. God makes the simple something that's wonderful to be celebrated. Well, we live in a world where we look at people and generally we measure them by their status. We measure them by their position and money and power and all kinds of experiences that they have. The gospel turns this almost around completely by saying that God now comes in a way that he honors and hallows the simplicity of a person in the person of Jesus. You see, and what that does, it puts a burden on us and it gives us a sense of celebration, because when God comes to the simple and God makes the simple something extraordinary, he is now validating not only the simple, but he's validating all that is simple. So when God comes in the flesh and God comes and hallows the simplicity of a human being and becomes incarnated through Jesus Christ and becomes one of us, I take that as a high compliment. I take it as an extremely high compliment, because God loves us so much that God will go through any lengths to come and be with us and be for us. And that is the power of the message. That is the beauty of the message, that God comes in a way that we would not expect by making himself vulnerable, available, and willing to be with us. But the most important thing that he does in that is not tell us how much he loves us, but teaches us how to begin to live our lives. He teaches us how to value who we are, to see that we are more than just a crowd of people, that we are more than just a collection of individuals, that we are much more than people who follow values or ideas or traditions, that we are in our own way the image of God in the world, that we are the representative of the most wonderful God in the world that comes through us in each of us. And so he hallows the simplicity of who we are. And by doing that, we take ownership, and we must take ownership for who we are. The gospel of Luke is teaching us today that we are very important to God, but not only that, that we are very important to the world. That what you do, what you think, how you live, how you love, how you value, how you judge, what you do with the power of your being in life matters. It matters not just to you, it matters to God, it matters to everyone. You know, a lot of people say, I can't do anything, I'm just a single individual. Well, you know, you throw a pebble into the lake and it makes a bunch of little ripples, and suddenly all the lake is moving around with life. We take for granted the power that we have in speech and in presence and in love and action. And we're trying to remind us, because Jesus came in such a simple way to meet us and to be with us and to be for us, that this is what he is giving us back. He's giving us back our life. He's not a God that takes away your individuality. He's not a God that demands your freedom as a sign of his worship and care. He's giving you freedom. He's giving you the power. He's giving you license to live your life and to make a difference in this world and to make a difference with everyone around you. That's the incarnation of God. It means that God is with us now more than ever in every action that we do and everything that we say. God is with us. And it's a kind of experience that you have to open yourself up to, because it is a freedom. It's an affirmation to be what you can be. The world will tell you what to be. The world will define your role. The world will say what you should speak and not speak. There are many people out there that will tell you how you should be. Women should be this way. Men should be this way. Black people should be this way. Gays and all that should be this way. But God only says, be who you are. Stand for who you are. And I am with you. I love you no matter what you are. I've created you in the way you are so that you can shine forth this love and this peace and this power that's offered to you in this life. You see, if you find any kind of validation or any kind of reinforcement for who you must be in the world, it's the gospel that we read today. That he loves us so much, he comes and he is with us, stands with us, lives with us, affirms us. Like a God who is so greedily in love with us that God could not separate himself from us, he had to come and be one of us. to be one of us, to experience the things that we experience, the joys that we have, the sorrows we bear, you know, the questions that we have, the challenges that come upon us. These are the things that wrestle with us in life, and we become something through that. Now, I'm sure there's some folks here who have had a pretty good year. Their health has been validated. They're doing well with their work. Their family is doing good. And God says to you, God is saying to you, I'm happy. I'm really happy, and I bless you. And I hope you can pass these blessings on to others. There are other people in this collection tonight that maybe have a nice, happy face, but are suffering different kinds of loneliness and different kinds of uncertainties and pain and fear. And God says to you today, I'm with you. I stand with you. I will work with you through these situations. And there are other people that have both. And yet God says, be the witness to who you are and be the witness to what I stand for. You know who you are? You may not like it. You are the shepherds. You ever think about being the shepherds? God comes and gives you a vision. You are like the shepherds. We're able to watch this wonderful thing. They saw the angels. They saw the thousands of people. They saw the little manger. They saw Jesus. They were able to see this panorama of events happening. They were able to witness the reality of God working in the world, just like you. You are all witnessing God's hand, God's presence, God's love and challenge in the world. And it's up to us to do something with that. It's for us to carry this forward, to live it out, to love each other with respect and dignity, and not forget that we are all made in that same image, and we are all the same in the created love of God. So the incarnation that Jesus now comes to us in this very humble form, it's almost like a little, it's a trick. I mean, how many people are going to see a little baby and not feel like, oh, isn't it the cutest little thing? I mean, do you ever watch those little puppy shows or little cat shows on, you know, on your computers? And all the animals, even those ugly orangutans look cute when they're little, right? I mean, you fall in love with them with their big eyes and their little sounds and all that. God comes to us in a way that shows his humility, his vulnerability, his availability, and his tenderness. How can we refuse to see that this is such a gentle gift and that we really have power over that? But he comes in such a way, in such a gentle, vulnerable way, to teach us that this is the only power that works in the world. This is the only power that undoes the harshness and the pain and the ugliness that is in this world. When we can get down to that level and see the beauty of a child and believe again, to see the beauty of a child again and to love again and hope again, this is the power of the gospel. And this is what Jesus offers us today in the incarnation of his Son. So when you go home and you're with each other, love each other. Celebrate the fact that you're with each other, that you have wonderful health, that you have wonderful children, your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, they're all around. Celebrate this. This is a gift that we hold with trembling hands for such a short period of time. And then when you really look at them, you'll see something special in their eyes tonight. Tonight only. Okay? Well, look deeply and sincerely, and you'll see it. Amen.